Oh, yeah.
So because of my handwriting, so my name is Anthony Giurti. So that's a Giurti with a D, it rhymes with purity.
Giurti.
Giurti. So I wanted to, I'm not going to read a poem, I'm going to read a part of a manifesto written by somebody who passed away this week. So just to mark this person's passing. It's called A Declaration. Can you hear me properly? Or too close or too far?
Yeah.
A Declaration of the Independence of Cyberspace, and it's by John Perry Barlow. So I'm just going to read, it's like if you read it kind of at a normal pace, it takes 9 minutes, so I'm just going to read up until it gets. So bear with me.
You've got 3 minutes.
3 minutes, right. Yeah, so just say when and I'll just stop.
Yeah, okay.
Governments of the industrial world, you weary giants of flesh and steel, I come from cyberspace, the new home of mind. On behalf of the future, I ask you of the past to leave us alone. You are not welcome among us. You have no sovereignty where we gather. We have no elected government, nor are we likely to have one, so I address you with no greater authority than that which liberty itself always speaks. I declare the global social space we are building to be naturally independent of the tyrannies you seek to impose on us. You have no moral right to rule us, nor do you possess any methods of enforcement. We have true reason to fear. Governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. You have neither solicited nor received ours. We did not invite you. You do not know us, nor do you know our world. Cyberspace does not lie within your borders. Do not think you can build it. Do not think that you can build it as though it were a public construction project. You cannot. It is an act of nature and it grows itself through our collective actions. You have not engaged in our great and gathering conversation, nor did you create the wealth of our marketplaces. You do not know our culture, our ethics, or the unwritten codes that already provide our society more order than could be obtained by any of your impositions. You claim there are problems among us that you need to solve. You use this claim as an excuse to invade our precincts. Many of these problems don't exist. Where there are real conflicts, where there are wrongs, we will identify them and address them by our means. We are forming our own social contract. This governance will arise according to the conditions of our world, not yours. Our world is different. Cyberspace consists of transactions, relationships, and thought itself, arrayed like a standing wave in the web of our communications. Ours is a world that is both everywhere and nowhere, but it is not where bodies live. We are creating a world that all may enter without privilege or prejudice, accorded by race, economic power, military force, or station of birth. We are creating a world where anyone, anywhere, may express his or her beliefs, no matter how singular, without fear or being coerced into silence or conformity. Your legal concepts of property, expression, identity, movement, and context do not apply to us. They are all based on matter, and there is no matter here. Our identities have no bodies, so, unlike you, we cannot obtain order by physical coercion. We believe that from ethics, enlightened self-interest, and the common weal, our governance will emerge. Our identities may be distributed across many jurisdictions. The only law that all our constituent cultures would generally recognize is the golden rule. We hope we will be able to build our particular solutions on that basis, but we cannot accept the solutions you are attempting to impose.
Thanks, Anthony. I wrote your name out properly, so I could actually read it. You know.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a lesson like, don't just sign your name like you're getting a check. If you want me to be able to read it.
Okay.
The next person up is Gomskoy.
It's Valentine's Day in 2 days' time, so Valentine's Day, so this is, it it's not a love poem, it's a poem about love, or it's somewhere between a poem and a story, really. So it's called Conversation in a Porta Cabin, and that's exactly what it is. It's a conversation in a work porta cabin. Conversation in a Porta Cabin. I wouldn't give up Bob for any life except the one I have. What do you guys get out of marriage anyway? Is it love or what? He buckles his belt to the last loop, releases his breath, twists his gut in his pants, returns to his desk, eating sandwiches made for the week, frozen on Friday. Drinks chicken soup boiled up on Monday night, Sunday's dinner a stock. That's fantastic soup all the same, if I say so myself. There's a trick to preparing it just right, before straining the bones out. I'll have a few cans now while cooking. Dutch gold. I wouldn't go down to that pub anymore, they'd rob you blind. I'll take out the guitar now on the weekend, I might at that. There was a time I played 10 gigs a week. Music would be great for a marriage, I'd say. A friend of mine used to be out every night playing the box, wife pulling her hair out. What did she do? Hook up the tin whistle. Flying there. I'll be free now when we finish up here at Christmas. A free man, do as I please. Christmas day off, down to Cove Cathedral for Mass. Then a long walk around Cove. Head home to make dinner. That'll be my Christmas day. Won't you go to your mother's, I ask? No, I go there, Stephen's, for the turkey and ham, with the mother and sister. I'll be my aunt in Christmas. Why even get into a romantic mood? He stretches his legs. There's dust an inch thick on the sideboard at home. He laughs with pride. No woman would come near the place. There's a one in Knockbraha has her eye on me. I don't know. What are the positive aspects of having a wife? Sex, shouts out. Yeah, sex, I suppose. Well, I'm 50 now and I'm living my life the way that I please. He sets up two chairs for his afternoon snooze. We tiptoe as he drifts off, muttering on his bubbly breath. So what would you need? Is it loving or what?
Next call. Can we have Billy Country Home, please?
What I look at in my normal life is like out the window. But anyway, here we go. And here was I staring out the window at things that change slowly, as if they don't change at all. I'm sitting looking at it all, and then still I wonder, am I staring at them, or are they staring at me? Dumped, inanimate, detritus, presided over by a white cat, gently placing its paws on what's been dumped. Then, that inanimacy of rubbish that I'm staring out through my window, or is that rubbish actually staring back at me? The spires pointing up to the greatest glory, ignored by the cat, ignored by me. But am I staring at them, or are they staring back at me? Only safe in Berlin. Hey.
Thanks, Billy. Can we have Emily Davis Fletcher, please? Ooh.
And I'm reading on Saturday, Ram. You forgot to mention.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Emily's reading on Saturday as well.
I'm reading at 4 with 6 other poets.
So this is a breakup poem, kind of more romantic than your love poem, Colin. The moon was a fat lady in the front row, sweating a field of skin hunger on her silk gown. We sat in her yard as the grass cooled. Beside her, a star balanced a glass bottle on her knee. Inside, your soup simmered. Her cleavage bubbled up from a black cocktail dress, and an elbow pointed to her date like every star. You stared hard into my eyes. They shifted in their seats. Your eyes were suns carved on a cave. I wanted to be your mirror. 3D glasses with white frames tilted on their round faces. But I glanced down to see you clasp my hands. I've changed, you said. Stars gasped, clutched their dates. In the balcony, a young star ran screaming, "People are killing themselves." Then you let go. The grass grew cold. You forgot your soup could burn. Is it my age? The moon flinched. The sex? Pulled away, shivered shadows where she wanted to be touched. Because I said I love you. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Emily. Can we have Risky, please?
I know that's cheating.
I haven't been writing much poetry lately, but it's a good song. And like Emily, it's a breakup song. The only one I've ever written. But it's about the last time you bang your partner before you never speak again. And if you want to catch more romantic tunes, come see me on Sunday at Brandon. Your pirouetting, silhouetting the half light of dusk, a husk of lust, cussed rough. I found losing her love to be a little bit tough. Momentarily breathless, it was relentless, but it became senseless. Thoughtless and mentless, but trust became a little mindless. And I think I was a little bit blinded. So stressed and repressed, we regressed into physical touch. Rushed and wrought by such movement and momentum, mourning the end of our spectrum. You become spectral. Then stepped, tentative and hesitant, latent with a palpable remit. Dreams became remiss, we kissed and were never not pissed off at each other, ever.
Yeah!
Interesting. Can we have Alana, please? We nearly won the fight for talent.
This is called I. I is small and I is big. It stumbles and fumbles, incoherently mumbles, drinks with its eyes, sees with its lips. Runs and leaps and cowers and cries, an avid collector of passive goodbyes. I dances and fawns and sleeps on a pillow of carefully stitched fears of fucking up, growing up, throwing up, giving up. Swallows smiles and coughs up a joke about itself, that guy, the tears from a yoke. I self-pities and claws, and I just might break your jaw. If you saw the way I could sing in its head, act king in its head, have avant-garde flings in its head. But alas, I is but an awkwardly croaking, Capri Sun clutching, missile turn red. Clutching a shot glass and ready for bed.
Yeah.
Can we have Brendan Mulcahy, please?
Leaving Paris, summer 2005. I know that bit. Send me a manuscript in duplicate. This American in Paris is querying my pitch. You can read it in October if it's accepted. But I leave Paris this week, my lease is up. He preens under his Parisian beret worn indoors, his de rigueur black turtleneck pulled over his paunch and tucked into what he would call slacks. Tight ass. But his gig's the only show in town on Monday nights. A lanky Slav cadaver headlining purveys pain from Moldova or Lutsk. Her audience, all costive deference. Over pints at the break, I commiserate with a cheesed-off Dubliner in a linen suit. This day and age, no fucking open mic. We found our own Salon des Refusés and swap recent work in an alcove. I do esquile till the bloody cows come home and suck up in return his endearing elegy for a broken crack pipe.
Can we have Neve to me, please?
This is written for a competition on the team of Ireland. I am the girl wearing three woolly jumpers at the farmer's market, and I am the hen who laid the eggs she sells. I am the smiling potato on an empty red and blue packet of cheese and onion crisps. I am the cow's square backsides sauntering slowly along the road and the line of cars behind. I am the kettle on and the cups out and the tenth time asking, are you sure now you won't have a cup sure of the kettle on? I am the small corner shop with its bulky cash register and moaning about the weather. I am Kerrygold, Fig Rolls, Montbrecia nodding at the road and the crowds in the pub for the All-Ireland. I am friendly smiles and waves on the street and talking to strangers. I apologise 100 times daily. I am modesty. I am frilly edged stamps on dog-eared letters in green post boxes. I am the tin whistle being blown too hard in second class. I am tap dancing and swimming lessons. I am N plates and L plates, and the bubbling radio in the kitchen in the morning, and the right to marry who you love.
Yes.
I am Dunn Stores and Rory Gallagher, and the smell of gossip at the hairdressers. I am the aeroplanes flying out of Dublin, Shannon, Knock. I am the hugs at arrivals and the hugs at departures and the 15 minutes free parking. I'm 25 extra points for honours maths. I'm granny's homemade jam. I am don't upset the fairies and an inability to go for one. I am orchids on the burn and the rich bounce of the Shannon and soda bread. I am Bailey's, a battered baron. I am jigs and reels and a prayer to St. Anthony. I am the colour of happy grass. I am whatever you have in yourself. I am home.
Can we have Jim Crickard, please?
Called Embarrassed Millionaire. And it's there's a John Steinbeck quote I want to see first. Socialism never took root in America because the poor see themselves not as an exploited proletariat, but as temporarily embarrassed millionaires. So embarrassed millionaire. As I took their coats and bags, they knew me by name and they smiled and my heart sang. That was almost an invite. Not quite, but it felt like it. I was in for a minute. I am a sunbody, on my way at least, wearing Marks and Spencer's as full couture. I only ever purchase branded food. I have an iPhone just like they do. My shoes are busted and scuffed. I wear them with impunity, call it heroin chic. Filthy rich and sick of it, at least what I want you to think. And I want you to think I smoke amber leaf as a middle finger to my father. I want you to think he's stuffy with old money. He is the cream of society, rich and thick. Gout-foot old coot, shoveling into lobster, foie gras and hollandaise, until salt crystals blister his veins, quaffing Dom Perignon, writhing exquisite pain, cold packs cooling on his ankles. I imagine millionaires' hands, exactly like my hands, but they touch and feel whatever they want, a diamond purse, a snakeskin glove, without shrinking into inadequacy. They do not shrink, they expand and they amass. There is the famous pyramid, a stack of champagne glasses that Thatcher claimed could wet every lip, trickle down, drip, drip. I've never been this sober before. Meanwhile, a billionaire is locked, pants down in a nightclub cubicle, forgotten his name, lost in the run, tangled in toilet paper, Tutankhamun. I'm sick of this neoliberal party. Find me another party that isn't so BYOB or die on the street. I want to leave with a bang, dressed in black patent PVC. I will lash paraffin on the champagne pyramid, take a match to flicker and blast into a million bits, a storm of quartz. I'll speed off, hissing into the night, looking for socialists to party with. I hear they care about sharing.
Thank you. Can we have Ali Baraka, please? Woo!
Iatros is the Greek for physician or doctor, healer. Iatrogenesis it translates directly as brought forth by the healer, but we use it in the English language to describe any ailment which is created or brought on by the healing process itself. This is iatrogenesis. One calm face crossing in the street with fleeting furrows and unbeaten brow. Be thus now Iatros, avail of what can be. Be thus here for nevermore, more for never can and can't be. Do not lay onus upon blind eyes, the burden of sightseeing, clairvoyance, or dust. Be thus now Iatros, avail of what can be. Be thus here for nevermore, more for never can and can't be. With such a surprise comes the hammer of neglect with ease and easiness. Untouched surprise, sing such surprise, like Augustinian time. Be thus now Iatros, avail of what can be thus here for nevermore, more for never can and can't be. Treat this with a new cure, a remedial shower of dandelions, daisies, and one rose-tinted thorn. Sand down the rough of hard skin with gentle, soothing, hand-holding hair massages, and sweet, ear-aimed, inaudible words. Treat this with lips, treat this with more than the medicine man's retrospective diagnoses. Come forth to the river man, he'll tell us all he can. Be thus now Iatros, avail of what can be thus here for nevermore, more for never can and can't be. Some are saddened by anger, and others angered by sadness on entering a love-conflicted empire, restricting pathos on one side and evaporating irk on the other, and always conforming to this Cartesian plane of duality at the expense of the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, and on, reclining into comfort on a bed of straw made of human skin. Deep below the belly of the beast there lives the prone profession and all of us that forever belies without lying. those that stink of money regardless of the most potent of colognes, those that know the and use it instead of an ah, those that tinker with the thinkers and fund them for political desires. Let us put one trauma above all else. Let us elevate suffering as something designated to a select number of people that in some way resemble us. Let us allow them, all others, to be damned to the margins beyond even the most humblest of exalted sighs from a person's nostrils. Let us not follow that sick German man that told us to excommunicate the law of excluded middle from our vocabulary. Let us not be right every time we are wrong. Let us remember that it is always us that lets us. Be thus now iatros, avail of what can be thus here for nevermore, more for never can and can't be. Again killed by life and ailed by healing and not the slightest notion of reform amongst you, young chap. Come and join the top-hatted, green-groaning sectarian gentlemen that live in the old Fleet Street of the Empire of Historic Imagination. You will never learn to unlearn because I'm going to kill Spivak with the subaltern and bury her deep beneath my social hammer, wherein it is solely the populism of my subaltern that speaks and not your mad emancipatory words. Go on and dig that air for words that Dylan left merely blowing in the wind. Go on and turn your pen into a shovel and dig until your forearms start to burn hollows in your heart. Go on and listen to the crazed, self-obsessed, bearded gentleman that sits before you pretending to take notes on what you are saying and somehow gaining large degrees of social arrogance on the basis of being in such a position to another. Teaching taught of teaching the words combined in a social tension that in fact none of us know how to answer. It appears as a question. How do we, all of us, so alike and different at the same time, manage to heal those that take it as their duty to heal us? Be thus now iatros, avail of what can be thus here for nevermore, more for never can and can be.
It's up to you.
The title of this poem is called More Classy Than Fish. There was a blurb that say that they, in about 20 years' time, they'll be more plastic than fish in the oceans. So, threadbare adventures collude with dark fantasy, closing time a proper order, a clean enterprise, which need too much sport, overly inactive. Another pint in fantasy, too real to believe. Pulp ammunitions, watered up, swell paid profits. Pick and mix creation certainties, flushed necessary. Struggling bygones relieved in the dark far corner. Residual insanities, slightly cause in celebration. Sharing beds, a common compliant. Loving space over privacy, finally completed. The hardest button to fasten, some exit wound. The entry closed to screech, coming as you are. Light overhead blinking, blinding. A mirror over fame. Overdue decorations slaughtered at times. Loved by others in good time. A saying, portion of welcome, timing one's exit. Saying nicely over a crude glass of wine. Cooked in to perfection, well rested and fed. Rookie of the year, washed by ancient types. Some god of suburbia tabbing the obvious. Bought over drinks and niceties, reciprocating over duress and wealthy, nudged politely then. Stage managed to talk where speaking to. Fortunately, producing the very bitter end. The phobic grip, cast eating as satisfied gaze. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Max Green, please.
We always think you're gone, Max.
I know. I just, I don't know. Oh, you look that. Okay. Okay. I was just going to do a little arc of piece of music from Iceland, really freaky music, the old Max 2 weeks ago, that just inspired word images. So each verse was an image, and yes. then roll back to Claire, what's her name, Claire Keegan's workshop that inspired the song when I walked out the door. So just kind of a two-hander if you have a minute. A wolf beyond this Arctic circle holds his praise to flight. He stalks alone and steel eyes search for creatures in this icy night. Chattering shakes the icicles on the barren birch, flicks the tongue, licks the trunk, fragile branches out of reach. Bars of white light, stingrays of Nordic night, comets spinning horizontally escape the certain light, and starburst from one glowing source falls in bright cascades, and flames that spark volcanic plumes on lava beds and sand. Cooled again by glaciers, embers slide by warm Gulf streams, electric charges through dry air, devoid of growing trees. He came to us from Reykjavik by way of Berlin, named for Ingolfr, the first Norwegian chieftain. Out of the icy land comes Caesar's sound to reach the shore of mind in Olamax. Each note evokes one frozen image. So, then Claire Keegan. I'm really done. I need to grab.
Go on,
where
can we go? Oh, yeah.
So this is for Claire Keegan. I just said I had to put my masterclass of 4 days into an A4. So this is Claire Keegan moving from Wicklow to being a Southern Belle. It's pitched a bit low without my cap. So move out gently from the quiet woods of Wicklow. Shed my garage over hills of black and pine. Shed the table by the sandbag before circling Atlanta. Seek out Southern Belles with pretty chimes. Squeeze a silvering Swiss of clinical Savannah. Ah, ha, ha. But don't ring the melodrama through your hands. If clinical reason applies temporal reason, twit size a tiny slice of some life pie. The strap is gone to fuck the turn. I was trying to play and cover it up. This is shocking, this is a dramatic pause. Yeah. Clinical precision, I apply temporal reason to excise some tiny slice of some life pie. This slice of timeline must be slender. Footsteps fall away, they cannot return to sender. Reluctantly begin to tell the story as a sin. Each sensory detail will seal the packaging. But beware the gamey eye. Cause havoc by desire, with desire. Cause that's passion in the aftermath, the unopened mail, the missing cat. True horror is concealed, best not sure, tell that. But beware that gamey eye, to cause havoc by desire. Gently from the quiet woods of Wicklow, shed baggage over hills of buckle pine. Shed the devil by the sandbag before circling Atlanta. Seek out a Southern Belle with pretty chimes. It's a clear clarity, your clarity. Just clarity. With her clarity of reasoning and short story writing. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Can we have Shirley Lynch, please?
Yeah.
This is a very unpolished piece of something that I started writing called The Divine Feminine, which I think is going to be a seed and a branch and a very big tree. So take it with a pinch of salt. A man said to me today that he could never be friends with a woman the same way he could a man. He did not mean this in any offense. He said it in an honest reflex, but I'm quite perplexed how our world treats their opposite sex. We've both been here since the beginning, but women are treated as new, talked down to as if we don't have a clue. We started your life, our bodies are the power, yet we're treated as delicate flowers. Moons rise within us, we can feel the earth through our fingers. We are the water bearers, caretakers, society makers, left to soothe men's tempers. We are the trees, the streams, the rushes, the muses, yet our narrative is lined with abuses. Are you wary of her absurd strength, of which so many have taken advantage? Is this why you feel an awkwardness? Like, you have to apologize to me when you say something on PC. Bitch, please, I have a degree. I have lived through more experiences than you can fathom, so do not treat me like I am fragile. I am not a doll on a platform. But you see, the awful confusion has occurred that because I wear a skirt that we are different. That's not true. The biggest lie society has ever spewed is that women are the weaker of the two. How do you see women? Is it from what you see in advertisements? Is that why you think that we are so different? Women chiseled in order to sell products. Deceived to conceive female sexuality lies in centerfolds of magazines, greased up images of plastic women in provocative poses, in corners of the internet with legs lying open, tongues sticking out, submissive women with open mouths. Is that why you can't see me the same way as a man? Or are humanity dissected to body parts and wants? Look at the ass on her, the tits on her, I give her one. But no one fucking asked you to. But you think she'd take it because of the women you see faking it, saturated in a sex culture that makes girls believe their worth lies in what's between their thighs. I am quite perplexed how our world treats each sex. We're supposed to believe the mere sight of a breast make men so weak at the knees that their lust is a mere disease that must be appeased. Really? How naive. Are you so afraid of your feminine side that you presume this facade of divide? Are you ashamed of how women have been silenced and been victims of such violence by men insecure of what's in their trousers? You are a tenant to Mother Earth, my boy. So question your logic. There is no difference between us. Just because I don't have a penis should not make you change your demeanor unless the way you act around men is so vulgar that really, my brother, take a look at lad culture, because it seems to me with that regard both sexes will fall apart. Woo!
Thank you. Our last quote today is this week's five-word challenge winner. Oh. John McCann. Woo! Well, honey, up we are.
I heard tell that you were sad, or that those words wrapped themselves around the feeling that you thought that you might be having. I knew from the texture of the moment that we shared that something lay there. But were you not just doing your best to describe something you've never felt before in familiar terms? Weren't you hoping for an experience from which you might learn? Wouldn't you feel the responsibility when told it's your turn, create highly the status of one with their own chance to spurn? I've never known hardship, not really. Always the one with the choice, you said you were stripped of your voice. When your inflated sense of what a voice is free to say was reminded of reality. Know that you are one good day away from being revered through the ages. Periods of time faintly remembered by those without use nor love of memory. A stranger to your cemetery of lithe thoughts and remedies. I will not stay here and mourn the death of that which never existed and claim to be conflicted. You can't say for certain that your life has occurred. They were just the clearest points of a continued blur. Could you say to me for sure where and why you were?
Thank you all.